Every trader starts with ambition, but staying in the game takes patience, perspective, and wisdom. Today's guest, Marvin Christians, represents the next phase of trading where success comes not from chasing, but from understanding. Marvin, welcome.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pleasure to have you. Let's jump into it. So Marvin, when you think of wisdom in trading, what's one lesson that only time could have taught you?
When you get into this industry, you assume that there's only one route and one way to the top. But time allows you and teaches you that there are various ways to get to the top. And when I say top, I define top as consistently profitable. Like you see various traders, various strategies, various timeframes, various personalities, but yet they all get to the top. But when you start, that's not always what you see. You always assume, I have to do it this way or else I'll fail.
Got it. From your journey or your path, did you feel that you were following kind of the status quo in terms of what a certain trader or mentor was doing, or you from the top or from the beginning, you kind of forged your own path?
No. So I many years ago, read a book called Copycat 101.
Okay.
And it basically teaches you, listen, if you do what they do, you'll get what they've got every single time. And when I got into trading, I quickly realized that that's not the case. Because based on my personality, I could be following someone that's got a high risk appetite, mm-hmm. whereas I may be a lot more conservative. Mm-hmm. So I do what he does, but I feel very uncomfortable. And I don't get what he's got because I don't have the appetite for that type of risk. So when I looked at that and I realized, listen, I have to figure out something where I'm comfortable, something where I am able to still live life, but be, you know, in a position where I can sustain myself and my family, I quickly realized that there was another way to the top.
Got it. Well, you often speak about structure and patience. How did life experience shape your trading discipline?
Yeah, it's very interesting that you asked that question because there are so many similarities between life and the way we trade or the way successful traders
trade. I hear this all the time, and it's fascinating.
There are a lot. So I read a book many years ago where Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, where they speak about how you do one thing is how you do everything. So what I realized was if I could find discipline in other areas of my life, I could leverage off that discipline and implement it into my trading, which of course we know is the foundation. So coming from a professional sporting background, I quickly understood that I could navigate off that discipline, apply it here, and become successful.
So you had discipline in your DNA from as a young child, more or less, would you say?
Yeah, so you know, when you grow up in South Africa and you grow up as a sportsman, I mean, that's...
What sport did you play?
Rugby. So I played rugby, yeah. I mean,
number eight?
Yeah. So the discipline to stay within the rules of the game, the discipline to stay within a team sport, you can actually leverage off that and come into this industry and say, listen, you know what? If I stick to the rules, if I abide by the trading plan or strategy that I've got, I'm able to get the desired outcome.
That's interesting. So, I mean, would you say that your path to success was maybe a little quicker or expedited than traditional traders that you've worked with?
Absolutely. Simply because of the discipline. And, you know, when you're an educator in the space, one of the things you can't teach is discipline. Let's say you want to get a six-pack. I can give you the exercise, I can give you the equipment, but I'm not there when, you know, 10 p.m. in the evening, it's you and that cheesecake. You need to decide, listen, am I going to go for it or am I not going to go for it? And trading is very similar. I can give you all the rules, I can give you the do's and don'ts, but at the end of the day, you must decide, am I disciplined enough? And I obviously had that because of my sporting background.
Got it. So, I mean, but this is something you highlight to everyone, right? I mean, importance or the value of discipline. This
absolutely.
Is something.
Absolutely. And it's you know, it's the common denominator amongst all successful traders. In fact, all successful business people.
Sure.
You will look at it and say, listen, because of his discipline, he's able to do what he's able to do.
Naturally. Were there moments in your career where slowing down actually helped you grow faster?
Absolutely. I clearly remember, you know, again, you know, you try and leverage off what works in other areas. Mm-hmm. And I quickly realized I had to become wealthy or successful in my mind long before my bank account or my trading balance. Right. So by slowing down, you know, you take a step back and you develop yourself personally. You work on your emotional maturity. You work on your emotional stability. And once you've sort of buffered that, you come into the market and you realize, oh my word, I'm actually able to do a lot more, not because of anything other than I've been able to develop myself personally.
Got it. Interesting. How do you use lessons from outside of trading in businesses, relationships, setbacks to guide your decisions in the market? So you mentioned with the sports and the discipline, but what about other areas of your life?
Yeah, so I mean, you talk about relationships again, you know, how we do one thing is how we do everything. Mm-hmm. So it's very seldom, hardly ever, that you'll find someone who's not managing his relationships well, but he's able to manage his business or his trading career well. And even again, coming, you know, back into sport, the example we always use is that in a team sport, there are roles and responsibilities for each player. Mm-hmm. So if you take football, for example, if you're expecting the goalkeeper to score your goals, it's going to have an effect on the end result.
Sure.
If you expect your strikers to defend, you're probably going to lose because he's not doing what he's good at.
Yeah.
So when we get to trading and we realize, listen, I've got a trading plan, I have a trading strategy, there are roles and responsibilities within those. If they can stick to what they're there for, we will get the desired outcome more times than not.
Got it. Okay. It's interesting because, you know, many people that I speak with, you know, they obviously talk about the discipline and the importance and whatnot. But in many cases, you know, as humans, we're undisciplined.
Yeah.
And I ask myself, how do we really kind of, we can talk about it, but how do we actually give people the direction on how to do it? So it's quite interesting there. Now, moving towards, let's say, the more emotional side of trading, how do you stay calm when markets are unpredictable or emotional?
Very good. And probably the most asked question you can get, especially in this time.
Yeah.
And for me, the two things we stick to, one is accountability, to make sure that if I have a trading plan or a trading strategy, that I actually stick to that. So that's why we journal our trades. We journal things that we do so that we don't get to a place that, I can't remember why I did that. I can't remember. Yeah. Okay, if I go to my journal, okay, I understand the market was extremely volatile. I understand I just come off, you know, a trade that I had to really, you know, work a lot of emotional management. And then you sort of learn from that and you hold yourself accountable. So without accountability, you end up being all over the place. You can't remember, oh, what happened there? I can't remember. This reminds me of that. And, you know, so when we journal it, when we manage it well and we have that routine, we are able to navigate the stormy waters that the market throws at us.
So journaling is pretty much the only way for self-accountability, or is that the best way?
Personally, I find it to be the best way. And also if you have an accountability partner in terms of trading, someone that's, you know, been it as long as what you are in it and they are able to understand, you know, then it makes a big difference. You know, sometimes you can cheat the man in the mirror, but when you've got a partner that wants the best for you, they'll hold you accountable and you'll actually get to the other side fairly successful.
Do you still have a trading partner?
Absolutely. One of the secrets that, you know, one of my mentors taught me is you don't want to be the best and the smartest or in the room. You want to be in a room where you say, oh, you know what? You want to be in a space where you realize, listen, there's so much more, but if I can only do it the way they've done it and be held accountable, then we are able to come out on top.
Makes sense. I got an interesting question for you here, Marvin. So do you think volatility can teach traders patience rather than fear?
Absolutely. It's one thing to understand and look at the fear aspect, but especially where we find ourselves today, the markets are extremely volatile compared to 5, 10, 15 years ago. And it really allows you to separate yourself from the amateurs should you want to become a professional, because these conditions help you understand, listen, I'm looking for certain areas to buy from. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for certain areas to sell from. And regardless of how volatile it is, if price does not come into that area, I cannot activate or trigger my trade. And that is where the patience really, really needs to be at its highest level.
I just see a lot of people, a lot of traders, they see volatility as opportunity, which to an extent it is, but you know, how do we kind of, let's say, teach these traders to kind of be patient and not just say, okay, you know, just because gold's reached 4,000 for the first time, that it's a buy opportunity, as an example. How do we educate these, like, let's say, newer traders about kind of having more awareness of volatility and what it really means?
Yeah. One of the biggest problems I foresee that we have with the volatility and the new traders, it does allow you to over leverage. It allows you to come in with smaller amounts. And, you know, that's not what we advocate. That's not what you, because when you look at a professional space, you want to make sure that your risk management is intact.
Yeah.
We know that it's massive patience and massive discipline, regardless of the volatility. Otherwise, that fear will be built.
Can you think of any time in your recent trading history that your patience or your discipline has been tested or maybe was, you know, broken?
There was one, not recent though. Mm-hmm. It's probably 3 years, 4 years ago, but I'll explain and put it in context.
Yeah.
So you'll remember coming into 2020,
okay,
we had all-time highs across the board.
Yeah.
And, you know, being a conservative trader and looking at, listen, I need to wait on price to pull back before I continue, you know, mm-hmm. the move to the upside. You're sitting and you're waiting and price is just moving and moving and moving. And you're thinking, hey, you know what? Maybe I'm doing this thing wrong. Maybe there's no side. Maybe this thing of a pullback is no longer applicable. Mm-hmm. Maybe the market just moves and it's going week one, week two, week three, week four, week five. And you're sitting and you're thinking, I don't actually know if I'm doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we all know March 2020, Feb 2020, we had the pandemic where price then pulled back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with what we do and when you use your technical analysis, you'll realize that technically it lined up beautifully. But it took literally 2-3 months waiting on price to get into
there. Was literally no trade action.
There was nothing because price just kept pushing up, pushing up. And you have to, I mean, you know, trading 101, wait on price to pull back before you can continue.
But what a great experience for that to happen. So now, you know, trust the process.
Absolutely.
Trust myself.
Absolutely. So price pullback literally to the T in terms of the area we were waiting for. And you know, had you not known anything, you would have said, oh, this is technically on point.
Yeah.
But we needed that catalyst, that fundamental influence to help us. But I mean, you know, 2-3 months of patience mm-hmm. to understand that, you know what we do actually works.
Got it. And so since then, 3 years later, never questioned your trading plan?
No, absolutely.
I have a feeling, though, the discipline that's already embedded in your DNA allowed you to stay the course for that, because I don't know many traders that would have just hung through. So, you know, well played. Now, in relation to, let's say, like maturity in traders, what, in your opinion, separates the mature trader from an impulsive one? Or do they overlap?
Yeah, there are minor differences and then there are major differences. So we like to refer to them as more the professionals versus the amateurs. Because to get a professional that's impulsive, a professional that's, you know, ill-disciplined, a professional that doesn't have a strategy or a plan mm-hmm. is highly unlikely.
But are they really a professional then?
Exactly, you know, exactly. So when you look at those, because your trading plan is really your roadmap. You know, I know where I am. I know where I want to be. Mm-hmm. I need something to get me from here to there. And that is really what your plan does. So when you look at a professional trader, you look at a mature trader, you realize they have these things. If you ask him, listen, out of your last 10 trades, what would you say is the common denominator between the X amount that went against you or the X amount that went for you? You'll say, hang on, let me just pull out my journal. I'll tell you exactly where we went right, where we went wrong. An amateur, an impulse is, I can't actually remember what happened 4 trades ago, but I can tell you about the last one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you start to suss out between, listen, you know what, this guy knows where he's going, and this one is sort of, you know, just playing and see. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
But from the one that's not journaling, that's not, you know, tracking, that's not disciplined, I mean, would you say that they can still succeed in long term, or it's not sustainable?
Yeah, definitely not sustainable.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you've got to have that plan. When you don't know where you're going, it feels as if though any road will get you there. But when you know where you are going, mm-hmm. when you know what the end goal is, you're able to make better decisions to say, listen, I'm getting in here, I'm getting out there. Or, you know what, this is 3 out of my 4 steps, so I'm staying out. Whereas the impulsive one says, you know what, it's only 1 step that's not there.
Sure.
Let's see how it goes. I think the worst thing for a impulsive trader is when those ones go right.
Definitely. Yeah, it just doesn't create unrealistic expectations.
Yes.
Marvin, having, you know, been in the industry so long, would you say that your definition of success for Marvin as a beginning trader versus Marvin now, has it changed? Or you mentioned earlier that success is consistently winning to you, but has your definition of success shifted or changed? Or do you have different variations of what you consider success now?
Definitely changed. Definitely changed. Because when I look at other areas of life, You know, you have to do the best. You have to be the best. Everything needs to be correct. You have to make sure that, you know, all the boxes are ticked. Whereas in trading, success for me is being consistently profitable. Consistently in the sense of I don't have to win all of them, mm-hmm. but I have to make sure that the winners are more than the losses, which is inevitable. And then, of course, you want to make sure the number one rule back then in terms of what success was is, am I making money or not? Whereas now, for me, making money is really just a byproduct of being able to preserve my capital.
There you go. And I mean, could you say that if I'm a beginner trader, that there could be success in actually losing money?
Yes. Some of my biggest lessons were learned in those. Because when you win, there's not much. You're so overwhelmed with, you know, oh, what did I make? Or showing everybody how this went. Yeah. You don't really learn much out of that experience.
Got it.
But it's when it goes wrong and you realize, oh, this is where I went wrong. So that, of course, when the next time that exact same scenario presents itself, I'm able to make a better decision.
I've always felt that, you know, with losses, you're actually just paying for education. But that's assuming that you actually look back and you reverse engineer what went wrong or what could have gone right or, you know, where you influenced it incorrectly. So that's interesting. Now, we have a lot of younger traders that are coming into the scene and, you know, especially these Gen Zs, and they're seeing all these, you know, TikTok videos and they're seeing all the opportunities, and it's great. But at the same time, I think that a lot of people come into trading with a lot of unrealistic expectations and set themselves up for failure. Yes. So what would be some advice that you would give maybe to some of our younger traders who are trying to chase these fast results and this kind of Bitcoin type of ecosystem?
Yeah. For me, when I get posed this question, I always think, okay, the younger Marvin, what would he want to hear? What would you want to tell him? And the older Marvin to the younger Marvin, it would be wrapped up and really summed up in the sense that the worst thing you can do is take your chapter one, walk into another trader's life at chapter 10 and compare the two. So you fast forward nine chapters.
Yeah.
And you are saying, oh my word, I can't believe I'm doing so poor. I mean, look where he is, look where he stays, look what he drives, look how he travels. But you're comparing his chapter 10 to your chapter one. If only you had the ability and the maturity to go back to his chapter one, and you'll realize, I'm actually doing well.
Sure.
I'm actually, you know, I could actually achieve much sooner what I'm now admiring. Mm-hmm. But because social media, to a certain extent, like you said, it ignores the first chapter or the first five chapters.
Exactly.
And I look at it and say, I don't think this is for me. I'm not sure if I'm skilled enough. I'm not sure. Not because of comparing apples with apples, but really saying, I've just started out. He's in chapter 9 and he's further. Of course he's going to be ahead of you.
Your gym analogy was perfect. It's like looking at the guy at the gym who's been working out 9 years and you're on year one. Of course, so you can't make any comparison.
Yeah. And because social media, it's in your face all the time. The algorithms are set up that if you just type Forex or trading,
it's over.
They're going to you're going to get those videos all the time.
Yeah.
And if you're not mature enough, especially as a young man, you look at it and you say, maybe I should consider something. That's not the way to do it.
Mm.
If you can only understand you're actually doing really well comparing apples to apples, you'll actually be able to go on and achieve and get the dreams that you're chasing.
Okay, that's great advice, especially for our younger audience. So experience teaches us that the real profit in trading isn't always the charts. It's who we become along the way.
Yes.
Marvin, thank you for closing the season with your wisdom and your energy. And we're happy to have you. And I hope to do more of this with you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for tuning in to Born to Trade. If you missed earlier episodes, catch up to hear how traders across Africa are shaping markets and mastering their craft. We would appreciate it if you could support the podcast by subscribing and leaving us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.